Good morning. In the year 1915, in San Diego, the city was experiencing a drought. At that time, in 1915, the city of San Diego relied heavily on the reservoirs for their drinking water, to water the crops, give water to their livestock. They relied on these reservoirs. So after weeks and weeks without rain, these reservoirs were starting to run pretty low. People of San Diego were praying for rain, but the rain wasn't coming. Farmers outside the city were worried about their crops drying up and dying, worried about their livestock not having enough water to drink. San Diego City Council was worried that the drought would do to their city. They were getting worried, and they were getting scared, and they were getting desperate because they were in a drought. As Christians, we can go through periods in our lives when it's easy to see God's presence in our lives. We can feel Him right next to us. But then there are other times when He seems far away, and we wonder if He's forgotten about us. And we can find ourselves in a spiritual drought. We can feel tired and worn out by our trials. We feel dried out. We pray to God to help us, to relieve us, to revive us, but we don't get an answer. Nothing changes. So our faith begins to dry out. Our hope can begin to dry out. And we can get worried. We can get scared that God has left us. Even David, as close as he was to God, had spiritual droughts in his life. I want to look at one of the psalms that he wrote, a short one, Psalms 13. Psalms 13 says, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, O Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. My enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me?" Sounds like David was in a spiritual drought. He thought that God had forgotten him, thought that God was hiding from him. He asked God to give light to his eyes, to brighten his life, to revive him, to relieve him. He was in a spiritual drought. We can find ourselves in a spiritual drought sometimes too. Back in San Diego in 1915, this drought was becoming so severe and people were becoming so desperate for water that the city council did something drastic. They hired the services of a man named Charles Hatfield. Charles Hatfield was a pluviculturist, also known as a moisture accelerator, also known as a rainmaker. A rainmaker is a person who attempts to, either actually or artificially, produce rain. Rainmakers were essentially traveling showmen, hucksters, who traveled across the country looking for the dry parts of the country where there hadn't been rain and tried to talk people into giving them money to make it rain. In 1902, Charles Hatfield started his rainmaking career by creating a mixture of 23 chemicals including dynamite. That's the only chemical that they still know that he used. 23 chemicals that he would mix together in these large metal open-topped pans and then have them sitting atop a 20-foot-high platform. These chemicals would then evaporate into the air, where they would react to elements within the clouds and supposedly causing the clouds to produce particles of precipitation, rain. So by 1915, Hatfield had fulfilled 17 contracts with clients, ranging from cotton growers in Texas to mine operators in Alaska. So San Diego hired him. San Diego's main reservoir was only a third filled, but they wanted it completely filled. Now this reservoir holds 15 billion gallons of water, and it was a third filled. So they were asking for 10 billion gallons of water. Charles Hatfield claimed he could fill that reservoir in a year. And for this amount of rain, for this amount of water, he asked for $10,000. $10,000 back in 1915 would be a little more than $250,000 today. So on January 1st, 1916, about 60 miles outside of San Diego, Charles Hatfield built a 20-foot tower and began mixing chemicals. When we become spiritually thirsty, when we're in our spiritual drought, and we're desperate for anything to quench it, what do we do? If we're desperate for anything to give us just a little bit of hope, something to that we can have just a little bit of faith in, what do we do? It can be tempting to begin following anything that sounds good, anything that sounds right. But that can be dangerous. If someone were to become lost or stranded in the woods without water, wilderness survivalists say it's more dangerous to drink untreated water than it is just to cope with the dehydration. Because in that untreated water, there could be bacteria, viruses, parasites, things that would make you sicker than if you're just dealing with the dehydration. This same can go with our spiritual thirst as well. If we're in a spiritual drought, thirsting for something to give us hope, to increase our faith, we have to be careful what we're drinking in. We have to make sure we're drinking from clean, treated water, and not something that would make us sick. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 14 and 15 says, "For Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It is not surprising then if his servants masquerade as servants of righteousness. Their end will be what their actions deserve." The devil masquerades as an angel of light. He can pretend to be or impersonate an angel of light. And if he can do it, his followers, his servants can do it too. They can make themselves appear to be someone good. They can make themselves sound like someone preaching something good. They can make us believe in them, hope in them, have faith in them. But they're deceiving us. They can pretend to be a rainmaker. We have to be careful. Our spiritual drought can make us so dried out and so thirsty that this dirty, unclean water being sold to us by these rainmakers in our lives or by the devil and his followers look appetizing. So we drink it up and we become sicker than if we had just waited until we found a clean water source and let the water fall from the sky. So on January 1st, 1916, Charles Hatfield started mixing his chemicals. On January 5th, it started to rain. But the first rain that Hatfield, it said that Hatfield believed that he caused, didn't start until January 10th. And it rained fairly constantly over the next 3 or 4 days, and the people of San Diego rejoiced. Their prayers had been answered. But it kept raining. And on January 15th, it really began to rain. Heavy rains over the next 3 to 4 days caused many roads and railroad lines to be washed out. But the people accepted that, because on the 19th, it stopped raining. They had gotten their rain. But the reservoir was not filled, and Charles Hatfield had a contract to fulfill. So he kept mixing his chemicals. There went a week without rain, and then it started raining again on the 24th. And it continued to rain, and rain heavy for the next 3 days. And now the people of San Diego were getting concerned about too much rain, because they hadn't fully recovered from the first batch of rain a week before. On January 27th, the city of San Diego recorded over 2 inches of rain. That's not too bad. But the river that feeds into San Diego stretches miles and miles and miles up into the mountains. Some of those areas got a staggering 24 to 30 inches of rain on January 27th alone. There were several reservoirs around San Diego, other than the one that Hatfield was hired to fill. And several of the dams along those reservoirs failed. And the floods came. A 24-foot high wall of water, 72,000 cubic feet of water per second, came tearing down the river. Even more roads and railroads were washed out. 200 bridges were destroyed. The damage was devastating. Farms were destroyed. Livestock was killed. People were worried about a drought, the possibility of their farms drying out and livestock dying. It was known. Flood damages were $3.5 million. Again, that was 1916. Today, that'd be about $90 million. With the reservoir now filled, remember, he said it would take a year. It took a month. Hatfield dismantled his tower and headed into town to collect his payment. Now, remember, he was 60 miles outside of town. He hadn't been into San Diego yet. As he headed into town, Hatfield saw what kind of damage had been done to the city. And he found out that the people who were now calling him a magician were angry with him. Some even wanted to hang him. There were people who were going to sue the city of San Diego because of the damage done to their crops and livestock. So the city of San Diego agreed to pay Hatfield his $10,000 only if he agreed to say that he was responsible for the rain and thus responsible for all the damages. Knowing that if he agreed to this, that he would be paying these people for years to come, Hatfield did not take credit for the rain that fell in San Diego. So the city of San Diego never paid Hatfield the $10,000 they agreed when they hired a rainmaker. The city of San Diego got more than they bargained for when they put their faith in a rainmaker. And if we put our faith in the wrong rainmaker, we may get more than we bargained for as well. Even as desperate as we may be for spiritual rain in our lives, if we believe the lies of the devil or his followers, we may be flooded. We may be destroyed, spiritually destroyed. We need to put our faith in the real rainmaker. Genesis chapter 6, verse 17 says, "And behold, I myself, God, am bringing floodwaters on the earth, to destroy from under heaven all flesh in which is the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die." God told Noah that he was bringing the floodwaters. God didn't have to use any chemicals or a tower. In Deuteronomy, After the Israelites wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, Moses addressed those who would soon be going into the promised land, who were actually able to enter the land. Listen to what he says God would do for them if they love the Lord and do what he commands. This is Deuteronomy 11, verses 13 through 17. And it shall be that if you earnestly obey my commandments, which I command you today, to love the Lord your God and serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, then I will give you the rain for your land in its season, the early rain and the latter rain, that you may gather in your grain, your new wine, and your oil. And I will send grass in your fields for your livestock, that you may eat and be filled. Take heed to yourselves, lest your heart be deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them, lest the Lord's anger be aroused against you, and he will shut up the heavens, so that there will be no rain, and the land yield no produce, and you perish quickly from the good land which the Lord has given you. Moses was telling them that God would give them the rain they needed for their crops and livestock to flourish, so that they can feed themselves. He's a rainmaker. But if they're deceived, they turn away from God and serve other gods, the Lord will withhold the rain, and the land will not produce the food they need. God's not only a rainmaker, he's a rain stopper too. Jeremiah 51, verses 15 and 16. It is he who made the earth by his power, who established the world by his wisdom, and by his understanding stretched out the heavens. When he utters his voice, there is a tumult of waters in the heavens, and he makes the mist rise from the ends of the earth. He makes lightning for the rain, and he brings forth the wind from his storehouses. God is the rainmaker. Charles Hatfield is quoted to have said, "I do not make the rain." That would be an absurd claim. I simply attract clouds, and they do the rest. Was Charles Hatfield a rainmaker? Probably not. It's very unlikely that he caused it to rain with a combination of chemicals in a pan sitting on a tower. Although there is some actual science to what Charles Hatfield was doing back then. Today it's called cloud seeding, with chemicals being sprayed out of airplanes into clouds. But with what his methods of doing it probably had no effect. What's more likely is that Charles Hatfield was probably just very good at forecasting the weather. Like the meteorologists on our local news programs today, Charles Hatfield may have known how to forecast the weather. He knew where the dry areas were. He could tell when the storms were coming. So he would go into a town and promise the rain, and then wait long enough for the rain to come. In San Diego, he just didn't expect the real rainmaker to step in. When we're in a spiritual drought, rather than needing something to believe in, something, anything, anyone so bad that we hire a fake rainmaker, we need to forecast the weather ourselves. We need to study the weather of our lives and find out when the storms are coming, find out when the rain is coming. Rather than hiring a rainmaker to give us false hope, we need to prepare ourselves for when the rain will come. We can study the weather by reading God's word. From 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 through 17. It says, "But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Rainmakers. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. I'd like to read those last two again. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for corruption, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. We all go through spiritual droughts in our lives, times when it seems like God isn't raining His blessings on us, and our hope diminishes and our faith is tested. But rather than hiring a rainmaker out of desperation to give us false hope, we need to look to God's word so that we can be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So we can forecast for ourselves when it will rain, where it will rain. We might not find the answer right away in the first verse we look at, but if we keep reading, it'll be in there. When we're thirsty for God's rain, we need to turn to Jesus. I'd like to close at John 4:14. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. If you're in a spiritual drought this morning, if you're thirsty and you need the water from Jesus, you're invited to come forward as we stand and sing.